made by D.E. Host, who succeeded Hudson Taylor as the director of the China Inland Mission. And I'll have to paraphrase a little bit, but the substance of it was, when God gets ready to bless the church and the world through a principle, he selects a man and works that principle out in his life, which is later to become a blessing to the church and to the world. And that's the substance of what he said. You know, you follow that long sentence there? God knows the world needs to be blessed through a principle. He selects a man, works that out in his life, and then later it does become a blessing. So Dawson Trotman modeled the principle that's become a blessing. And then as it expanded beyond him, it went through the Minutemen, and then later that which became the Navigators. So, John, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and you know, you can take a long answer on them. And then, just in case that John wouldn't cover his testimony, I'd like for you to ask him questions about the Minutemen. You know, that we're going to know all about the Minutemen when we get through here with this half hour. So be thinking of the questions you want to ask. So the first question I want to ask John is, how did you meet Dawson Trotman in the first place?
Well, I met Dawson Trotman. Well, first of all, I saw him before I knew who he was. As a young man in last year of high school, in Whittier High School. And by the way, I was born in Whittier on June 30th, 1912. And being in the last year of high school, I was in real need in my life. I didn't know exactly what sin that the sin nature was behind it. I didn't know about that. But I knew that I had a real need. And a gospel meeting was held not about two blocks from my home. I could hear the singing from my upstairs bedroom window. And there was a huge wooden tabernacle. And the evangelist was a man by the name of John Elwood Brown, who had schools in Siloam Springs, Sulphur Springs, in Arkansas. That night, this is rather lengthy, but you asked, so you're going to get it. Okay, all right. So that night, a quartet sang. And that night, I was convicted and convinced that what I needed was found in the person of Jesus Christ and what he'd done for me. I went forward, and in those days they had you go into what they called an inquiry room, which was a good idea because you were dealt with personally by an individual who wanted to make sure that you knew what you were doing. Following that, two of these fellows that were on the quartet came up to me and introduced themselves. One of them said he was Dawson Trotman, and the other said he was Lewis Coates. A lot of you don't know of Lewis Coates, but he played an important part in the founding of the Minutemen and was also the Navigators. And they wanted to know if, they said we're having a prayer meeting and Bible study at the Brethren Church in Whittier, and we're meeting at 4:30, that sound like Dawson? Yeah, 4:30 in the morning, and so I attended. That began my, and there, of course, I met other men, such as Louis Bardwell, and got acquainted with Lewis Coates and Dawson Trotman. So that's my first meeting with Dawes.
They took you in the Minutemen as a brand new Christian man. These other people were more or less mature Christians, and they took you in as a brand new one. Is that what you're saying here?
Well, actually, the Minutemen were not in existence at that time. Dawson and Louis Coates, Bardwell, there were a few men who I can't identify in my thinking going back that far. But they were members of what was called the IFC, which was the International Fishermen's Club, which I joined. And I don't really want to go into what we did in IFC, but that's the Dawson, in time, a short while after I became a member of the IFC, we used to go down to the old Long Beach band shell, which is next to the, I don't know whether it even still exists now or not. It used to be right next to the brand new auditorium that they built. And gave testimonies from the platform there. And then after the band, the municipal band had played, you had somewhat of a crowd left in the seats. And we gave our testimonies, which I think the wind blew away. I don't know how many of them heard what was being said or not, but and we distributed tracts and talked to the people at that time. That was the organization that Doss belonged to at that time, the International Fishermen's Club. Now you...
Okay, now how did the Minutemen develop out of that?
Much of that, because I was new and did not know what was really in the background, what was going on, so I will not go into something I do not know. I'll only tell you what I know. In our own church, we had a Bible, sort of a Bible Institute, two evenings a week. Pastor had started, and he brought over from the Bible Institute of Los Angeles some teachers. One of them was a man by the name of V.V. Morgan, who was a very outstanding, fine Bible teacher. And V.V. Morgan and Daddy Hale, I attended the Bible Institute of Los Angeles for a year. Daddy Hale was the dean of the men at that time in the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, and they both evidently were on the board of the International Fishermen's Club, because I do remember the one meeting that where in Dawson, they came over, Morgan and Hale came over to meet with Doss, and all I could gather from the conversation that took place was that Dawson was dissatisfied in the direction or what he felt was the thrust of the International Fishermen's Club. Not that he was against the thrust of it, but it didn't seem to be accomplishing what he wanted to see accomplished. And for that reason, he was leaving the International Fishermen's Club. And they had come over to beg him not to do that. But he did. And formed a group of men that was known as the Minutemen. And I joined that group along with, well, just about everybody that was in the original group that I knew, such as Louis Bardwell, Louis Coates, and Dawson Trotman, a few others, became what you know or is known as the Minutemen.
Dawson's Journal has... list some of the requirements of the Minutemen. Do you remember some of those meetings you had, the Minutemen, and what the disciplines laid on your work?
Well, when we were in the Minutemen, as far as the Minutemen themselves were concerned, we had a very rigid program. And sometimes it involved all-night prayer meetings, like a haystack prayer meeting down at Lamita, or sometimes an all-night prayer meeting up in the Whittier Hills. I still lived in Whittier at that time. And then there were times when we would go around to the different churches in Southern California, especially in the evenings, and conduct some services. But as far as the requirements of the Minutemen are concerned, what the navigators do now is not too far away from the original format of the Minutemen, such as we had a regular list of things. Well, first of all, we were introduced to the wheel, right? And then we had a regular list of things that we had to do. And they included certain books that Dawson wanted us to read, and you can guess which one of them. One of them was, it was the biography of Hudson Taylor. How many pages did you read or chapters did you read this past week? How many did you witness to this past week? Did you learn the passages of Scripture that were given to you to learn this past week? I might say about this, that before I ever got into the Minutemen, Dawson used to come over to my house in Whittier, and we'd throw ourselves down on the living room floor, and he would, because at that time I didn't hardly know Genesis from Revelation, and my mother gave me an old Bible that had not been used in the home for a long time to use, and Dawson spent a lot of time with me personally, which I appreciated, which later on in my Christian walk came back to support me when I spent a few tragic years away from the Lord. I might say too, Dawson, I was curious about it. Dawson said to me at that time when we were studying together something that I suppose years later he would say to hundreds of young fellows. And he said to me one occasion, he said, "I'm David and you're Jonathan." And I think I read in one of Theodore Epp's books that he said that to Theodore Epp when they were studying together long time ago. But I got to thinking, how many fellas, young fellas, must have Dawson encouraged and shown a loving relationship to by just saying that to them, "I'm David and you're Jonathan." And so we studied together that way. But the format, Jim, it was pretty much the format that he used with the navigators. It was... My mother was really at that time in sort of a dilemma. She had been very upset about my late nights before I came to Christ. And she didn't know exactly all that was going on when I'd be away from on a full night and maybe the Whittier Hills or somewhere else in a all-night prayer meeting. But I cannot tell you honestly whether I was intimidated by Doss at first or just awed. I never had anybody come on that strong with me. He could be so beautifully blunt, maybe not even beautifully. And when you looked in those piercing, if you know Doss and you've been around him, you know, and he looked at you and you were trying to face up to that column of things that you were supposed to do, one fellow said to me, and he dropped out of the Minutemen, he said, "I find myself lying." He said, "I'm afraid of that man, you know." And I didn't dare. It was just like facing Moses in a way, you know. But I can remember those sessions that, as I look back on that, I think I've said it many a time to many people. Here is an ordinary guy running a lumber. What do they call those big carriers? Lift? Yes. Down on the docks. And then coming around to see me at night, one night a week for a Bible study. And then these other sessions that we had together. Man would consumed, young fellow, just consumed with a desire that Christ should be first in his life and that he should see Christ reproduced in other lives. So that it became, the ordinary became extraordinary, just because of his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, so actually with the Minutemen, that was pretty much, I could go into some things about what we did as Minutemen toward the Minutemen just disintegrated. Some went to school. I think Sam Galt at, where are you, Sam? There you are. Sam would know about this, but I think that Louis Bardwell at that time probably went to Alaska as a missionary. Did it? Oh, I see. I came to this conference because I had hoped against hope that even though I didn't see his name on the list, that I would meet Louis Bardwell, because Louis was older than I when I was first entered the IFC and then later on the Minutemen. And Louis was just sort of took me under his wing, as it were. And when the Minutemen dispersed, some went like Louis did to school. In fact, I did myself and went back to the church college, which was called Ashland College, the only college that the Brethren Church had at that time. So the Minutemen went several different directions. But at that time, toward the end of the era of the Minutemen, contacts were being made with men in the Navy. And more particularly, and I would suppose, I have no knowings for sure, but if I had to guess, it would be that USS West Virginia was the key ship on which, because I can remember riding on the back of Louis Bardwell's motorcycle, going down to Long Beach to go out on the USS West Virginia. And only one time that I really recall that I was in a group, perhaps twice. A home had been obtained for Doss on Surf Line, right down on the sand, if I remember it, or down very close to the water. And I met, there were several sailors from the USS West Virginia there. Later on, in 73 and 75, before this, I was heading a Bible school that was affiliated with the evening school of the Multnomah School of the Bible in Portland, Oregon. And Dr. Goodrick, hearing of me, contacted me and asked if I would assist him in taking students abroad in the Middle East. It was an all-summer study, going through all Europe and then spending 40 days in Israel in archaeological digs and things of that nature. And so I accompanied him in 73 and 75. I'm reaching, I bring Ed Goodrick into this. He is, of course, one of your early navigators. And on the 73 study, we were in a youth hostel in Athens. And Ed and I bunked together, and we were just talking. And I let the name of Dawson Trotman slip from my lips. And he bolted up in bed, and he said, "What do you know about Dawes?" And then we got to comparing notes, and we discovered that he probably was at one of that Surf Line meeting that I was talking about, but that we didn't know each other at that time. So that was quite interesting that here we should be in the same room, but later on should form such a very close, warm friendship, because Ed Gookard is a real precious friend of mine. He has undergone a cancer operation, removal of his bladder and prostate, and I went up to visit him for a few days in Portland, and I wish we could talk more about what God is doing through that man, but the point I want to get across is that Ed wanted to be here real bad. In fact, I had talked to him over the phone, asking, knowing about his operation. I said, "Dad, I'm just praying that the Lord will permit you to come to the NAV 88. And he said, "Well, I plan to be there." But it didn't work out that way. And he was doing fairly well. You know, he knocked on our door every morning at 6 o'clock and said, "We're going out for a walk," which we did, and walked about a mile. And he was trying hard, but he's weak, and he's undergoing, by this time he's undergone chemotherapy treatments. He was undergoing radiation treatments, and I haven't heard, I don't know, Jim, whether you've heard what the results of the chemotherapy treatments are.
When I talked to him last, he said he thought he was feeling better because of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to call him this week.
That would be great.
Your tenure then spanned the entire life of the Minutemen. You were there when they started and there when they disintegrated.
Yes.
What brought about the breaking up of the Minutemen?
Chiefly that which I mentioned, that the reason why the Minutemen went by the board was because so many of them felt led to go to schools elsewhere. And if you knew Dawson, it was right that it should be so, that if you weren't with him, why, you weren't with him. And as a result, his energies would be devoted with those that were. And that's one of the reasons for the success of the Navigators, because of his diligence, his commitment to Christ, and the diligence as a result of that. But the Minutemen really primarily disintegrated due to simply many of them going different ways. There was nothing in the way of any trouble or difficulty as far as that was concerned. It was just a matter that the men that were there, many of them wanted to do something, to go further their education or do things of that nature. There's one thing that I probably could, it may come up later. I may be talking about that later.
Well, then, John, what have you done since the Minutemen broke up then?
Well, since the Minutemen broke up, I've been encouraged by my pastor. And by the way, I might say about that, in those days, the parachurch ministries were not in evidence, you know. We had Youth for Christ, which didn't really conflict too much with church activities because, in fact, it was a supplement, and those meetings usually took place on a Friday night or a Saturday in the different cities where they were held. But the pastor where I was, a young pastor, a man by the name of Charles Mays, was a little bit distressed that I was spending so much time, just having come to Christ, distressed that I was spending so much time, like on Sunday evenings and other places. As I look back on it, I don't know whether he was conniving or not. I don't think so, there were many men at that time who in the Brethren Church in Southern Cal who were attending college in the only college that church denomination had, which was in Ashland, Ohio. There were quite a few going from. There was a man that many of you may know, Dr. Lewis S. Bauman, who was pastor of the Great Fifth and Cherry Church in Long Beach. He had many young men from his church go into training. And so there were four or five of us that went from our church back to college at the same time. I suppose as you look back on it, that was not an attempt at all of the pastor to get me out of the Minutemen, but it was simply a desire to see me go on for further training. And so I went to Ashland College, and in 1937, a division took place in the denomination. There were divisions taking place all over the United States in that general era. There was a great, large one in a Baptist denomination, 32. And 37, a division took place in the seminary graduate school, known as Grace Theological Seminary, came into existence. And all but two of the students, many of us were enrolled in what we call Ashland Theological Seminary and spent a year there. And then the seminary, when the split came, the seminary was located temporarily in Akron, Ohio, in the Ellet District of Akron, Ohio. And I hope this doesn't bore you too much. Okay, it's all right? Okay. That was a founding under the late, very outstanding Bible scholar, Dr. Alva J. McLean of Grace Seminary in Akron, Ohio. Graduated from there. Went into what they call church planting in Worcester, Ohio. I had a Bible class there, and it became a church. I became pastor for a while of the North Long Beach Brethren Church in North Long Beach. I was there for several years when some very tragic years followed, in which I'll not go into any detail, but which I will say to you, you find out who your Christian friends are in times like that. I looked on myself as totally to blame, but and I was so down on myself that I felt utterly cast, that I was just utterly worthless in the Lord's work, that it would never come about again. And I had a lot of people that not only agreed with that, but let me know it. And they sort of reminded me of the elder brother in the prodigal son. They couldn't understand what happened later, that the Lord should, when I came to him, would have open arms and he'd have the ring and the robe. And that bothered a lot of them, but I can't help that. I will say this, that Dr. Mays, I had many people that prayed. And we're talking about prayer. I want to tell you that it works. And when the Lord says men ought always to pray and not to faint, that's true. But there's a man who prayed for me and never let go of me, and that was this man called Mays, who was my pastor in those early days. He never gave up on me. And he followed Dr. Lewis S. Ballman. That church had only known one pastor for 25 years, Dr. Lewis S. Ballman. We used to call him Long's. LS was for Long Sermon. They said he went by the calendar rather than by the clock. And they even tell the story that his wife used to go down in the basement, pray that and bring the service and ends out somehow. dear man, wonderful man, loved him dearly. And I've had many, we had fellowship together and went fishing together. But be that as it may, Dr. Mays, he became the pastor of that church following L.S. Ballman's tenure there. And he was there for 26 years himself, 25, 26. It doesn't stick in my mind. Somebody who was from Long Beach may know about that era. But it was his, and along with many other prayers, I can remember going down and visit him when cancer of the stomach had struck him. And I can remember there in visiting with him, this dear man of God would lay there in that bed and we'd reminisce together. He'd have his eyes closed. He was very frail, but his mind as sharp as a tack. And we had wonderful fellowship together. And he was a great support to me in the years that followed. I wish I could tell you some more about his death, but be that as it may, following this, I formed a Bible school, affiliated with Multnomah. I teach the Bible oftentimes, and I'm active in what we call a Christian Businessmen's Committee. And by the way, in Reno, we have one beautiful group of men, some of them doctors, some lawyers at real estate, insurance, garage mechanics, you name them. But just a beautiful group of men, and they have there's a core within that group that is doing has a great ministry, outreach ministry. And we use, some of you may be familiar with the NAV's First Step, little booklet. We start with, when a man is won to Christ, we start with that. Then we take in what they call the Timothy program. There are two books that we use, and I'm in the process of working with a man on his, now on his first book. But the material, much of the Bible material within the Timothy book is taken from the Navigator's Design for Discipleship. So you know they're getting some good discipleship material. So those are, and when Dr. Goodrick had invited me to help out with field studies, it introduced me to an altogether another type of ministry that I have. In May, I just completed my 26th trip into the Middle East with a group, and primarily Israel, then Athens, and so on. Just before coming down here, a man had called me from, this is only to illustrate the fact that things in, which are now Turkey, of course, and that I was on his list, and he'd been recommended by someone. And so on our way, just previous to coming here, we met with him in San Francisco because he informed me that he had narrowed it down to three men, and I was one of the three. So I went over to see him because he wanted to meet me personally, and we talked. And he plans to take 30 pastors. I think most of them Lutheran, I would gather. He did mention there's an Assembly of God pastor and some others going. But in the course of our conversation, just out of the blue, he said to me, I've already made up my mind, and he said, you're the man that I want to be professor of the studies of the seven churches when we visit the site. I wish you'd pray about that. He said, that's to me is a ministry. I don't care if pastors or no. It's a ministry, and you should remember me in prayer on that, if you will. It, the dates are in April, begin April 3rd of 89, and this is one of many types of ministries that I'm involved in present time.
Well, thank you very much, Sean. That's been great. Let's be dismissed for a refreshment break.